Chapter 27. Sunlight. Andy, now we are here, said Major General Sir Theophilus Tinkler. What next?
H. D. it, said the Commander-in-Chief. Charge. Charge, nothing like charging galloping guns, rascally black scoundrels. Charge. Charge. And then turning round to me, perhaps he was glad to change the conversation, he said, Lieutenant Gahagan, you will stay with me. And well for him I did, for I do not hesitate to say that the battle was gained by me. I do not mean to insult the reader by pretending that any personal exertions of mine turned the day that I killed, for instance, a regiment of cavalry, or swallowed a battery of guns. Such absurd tales would disgrace both the hearer and the teller. I, as is well known, never say a single word which cannot be proved, and hate more than all other vices the absurd sin of egotism. I simply mean that my advice to the general, at a quarter past 2 o'clock in the afternoon of that day, won this great triumph for the British Army. Gleig, Mill, and Thorne have all told the tale of this war, though somehow they have omitted all mention of the hero of it. General Lake, for the victory of that day, became Lord Lake of Lasswarie. Lasswarie. And who, forsooth, was the real conqueror of Lasswarie? I can lay my hand upon my heart, and say that I was. If any proof is wanting of the fact, let me give it at once, and from the highest military testimony in the world I mean that of the Emperor Napoleon. In the month of March, 1817, I was passenger on board the Prince Regent, Captain Harris, which touched at St. Helena on its passage from Calcutta to England. In company with the other officers on board the ship, I paid my respects to the illustrious exile of Longwood, who received us in his garden, where he was walking about, in a nankeen dress and a large broad-brimmed straw hat, with General Montholon, Count Las Casas, and his son Emmanuel, then a little boy, who I dare say, does not recollect me, but who nevertheless played with my sword knot, and the tassels of my Hessian boots during the whole of our interview with His Imperial Majesty. Our names were read out in a pretty accent, by the way, by General Montholon, and the Emperor, as each was pronounced, made a bow to the owner of it, but did not vouchsafe a word. At last Montholon came to mine. The Emperor looked me at once in the face, took his hands out of his pockets, put them behind his back, and coming up to me smiling, pronounced the following words. Assay, Delhi, Deeg, Fudiger? I blushed, and taking off my hat with a bow, said, Ire, Kesmoy. Parbleu, je le savais spin, said the Emperor, holding out his snuff box. En uses vous, Major? I took a large pinch which, with the honor of speaking to so great a man, brought the tears into my eyes, and he continued as nearly as possible in the following words. Sir, you are known. You come of an heroic nation. Your third brother, the chef de bataillon, Count Godfrey Gahagan, was in my Irish brigade. Gahagan. Ire, it is true. He and my countrymen in your majesty's service stood under the green flag in the breach of Burgos, and beat Wellington back. It was the only time, as your majesty knows, that Irishmen and Englishmen were beaten in that war. Napoleon, looking as if he would say, Dear Candor, Major Gahagan, well, it was so. Your brother was a count, and died a general in my service. Gahagan. He was found lying upon the bodies of 29 Cossacks at Borodino. They were all dead, and bore the Gahagan mark. Napoleon, to Montholon, Estrai, Montholon. Je vous donne ma parole d'honneur la plus sacrée, que Estrai. Ils n'y sont pas daughters, ces terribles Gahagans. You must know that Monsieur gained the Battle of Delhi as certainly as I did that of Austerlitz. In this way, see Bellader de Lore Lake, after calling up his cavalry, and placing them in front of Holker's batteries, Cui Belay in La Plaine, was for charging the enemy's batteries with his horse, who would have been Ecrasus, Matrails, Foudroyes to a man, but for the cunning of C. Grand Rogue K. Vausvoyes. Montholon. Aquin de Major, va. Napoleon. Anthelon. Tastoy. When Lord Lake, with his great bull-headed English obstinacy, saw the fatuous position into which he had brought his troops, he was for dying on the spot, and would infallibly have done so, and the loss of his army would have been the ruin of the East India Company, and the ruin of the English East India Company would have established my empire. Bah, it was a republic then. In the East, but that the man before us, Lieutenant Goliath Gahagan, was riding at the side of General Lake. Monthelon, with an accent of despair and fury, read in. Sent Miltoners to do. Napoleon, benignantly, Amtoy, Monfidelami. What will you? It was fate. Gahagan, at the critical period of the battle, or rather slaughter, for the English had not slain a man of the enemy, advised a retreat. Monthelon. E. Latch. Unfrancase Muirt, Mace Il Neri Cule Jamace. Napoleon. Tupide. Don't you see why the retreat was ordered? Don't you know that it was a feint on the part of Gahagan to draw Holker from his impregnable entrenchments? Don't you know that the ignorant Indian fell into the snare, and issuing from behind the cover of his guns, came down with his cavalry on the plains in pursuit of Lake and his dragoons? Then it was that the Englishmen turned upon him. The hardy children of the north swept down his feeble horsemen, bore them back to their guns, which were useless, entered Holker's entrenchments along with his troops, sabered the artillerymen at their pieces, and won the Battle of Delhi. As the emperor spoke, his pale cheek glowed red, his eye flashed fire, his deep clear voice rung, as of old when he pointed out the enemy from beneath the shadow of the pyramids, or rallied his regiments to the charge upon the death-strewn plain of Wagram. I have had many a proud moment in my life, but never such a proud one as this, and I would readily pardon the word "Howard," as applied to me by Monthelon, in consideration of the testimony which his master bore in my favor. Major, said the emperor to me in conclusion, why had I not such a man as you in my service? I would have made you a prince and a marshal. And here he fell into a reverie, of which I knew and respected the purport. He was thinking, doubtless, that I might have retrieved his fortunes. And indeed I have very little doubt that I might. Very soon after, coffee was brought by Monsieur Marcand, Napoleon's valet de chambre, and after partaking of that beverage, and talking upon the politics of the day, the emperor withdrew, leaving me deeply impressed by the condescension he had shown in this remarkable interview. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.